I'm John Batchelor, visiting with my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing Real Clear Politics about the trouble with Harvard, which is what is to be done. The conduct of 2024 is unacceptable. The Trump administration is approaching this remedy with many, many skills, and it does have the federal government. It's a weight that will burden even Harvard University. If they go to court, it'll be years in coming and make everybody extremely unlikely to settle and scar all the students there. There are lots of negative consequences here. So a remedy Peter recommends out of court, which is always wise in a civil matter. So we come to the School of General Education, whose idea Stanley Kurtz presents in an essay. What is that, Peter?
Well, the Kurtz, who's a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, co-drafted model legislation, the General Education Act, and the core idea there is that public universities should create special schools of general education, what we would call specializing in liberal education. You could earn a degree in liberal education, but also these schools will provide a basic mandatory curriculum of, let's say, 12 courses over the course of over the period of 4 years, a kind of core curriculum. And actually, one state has adopted this proposal, Utah. Other states may. And Kurtz has suggested that this could be a school of general education, could be the core of a compromise that Harvard and the Trump administration would agree to. It would not solve the problem of indulging anti-Semitism and discriminating based on race, but it would deal with the longstanding cause, debasement of liberal education. It would allow Harvard to keep its independence. The Trump administration would not be engaged in intrusive monitoring, and students would benefit because they would get what many students actually still come to college for, which is an introduction to American governance and civilization, Western civilization, and the basics of non-Western civilizations.
Back in ancient times, prehistory, 1966, okay, when I entered university, we had an advisor and we had a curriculum that you needed to satisfy in your first 2 years in universities, understanding you would choose a department in your third and fourth year and write a thesis out of your department. And so there was a recommendation. All the courses were numbered 101, geology 101,
yes,
biology 101. There was a language requirement. There was humanities requirement. There's a science requirement. I don't believe that there was a mathematics requirement. There might have been. And there certainly was a foreign language requirement. Is that all gone, Peter?
It's not all gone. And there are still disciplines, especially the sciences, in which you must progress. You must learn the basics of physics before you go on to advanced physics. But professors don't like teaching the intro courses. And to the extent possible, they make the intro courses not an introduction to their field, but rather some narrow specialized topic in which they are experts. So in an English literature department, introduction may only mean some course that focuses narrowly, a small seminar in which students get a little bit more attention. But broad overviews are increasingly frowned upon at the universities, again, because professors are interested in husbanding time for their scholarly interests and not would like to avoid spending time on preparing themselves to introduce students to the broad sweep of their discipline.
My memory is that what I was faced with as a freshman was to follow a course that was called a liberal education. Has that gone away? Liberal? No, people don't talk about it anymore.
Very seldom. And when they do, often they don't really understand that what we're speaking about is an education that should be designed to prepare young men and women for life in a free society, to exercise the virtues of freedom and to assume the duties of free citizens. That kind of language would be is foreign, even anathema to many members of the faculties these days.
And yet the senior members of the faculty, all emeritus now, my age,
yes,
had that education as young men and women and benefited by it. when did the switch off come over, that what taught the professors to be wise was no longer going to be taught?
Well, as you know, this is a long story, but here's just a crucial chapter in it. These professors, these generous-minded professors, admitted students to graduate programs in the 1970s who brought a new opinion about the purpose of scholarship and the purpose of teaching. The old view, the one in which you were educated and in which I was educated, was the purpose of education is to understand our world better, the human world and the natural world. The new opinion was that the purpose of education is to change the human world, that education is politics by other means. Both our scholarship and both our role in the classroom is to promote progressive change. That was the big shift, and it was accelerated dramatically when the students of the 1960s entered the graduate programs of the 1970s.
Back to Harvard University and its kindred of Cain, all right, to use a metaphor. The remedy is to rearrange how they got to where they are now. Is it understood by the Harvard administration that their understanding of education is unacceptable? Do they understand that is what's being objected to, not the events just of 24?
Sad to say, I don't think they yet understand this crucial point. They did recently publish an honorable 300-page report on anti-Semitism at Harvard. They document many, many cases, many abusers of the classroom privilege, many abusers of the privilege at the platform privilege at Harvard to indulge in anti-Semitism. But they do a poor job of linking all this back to attitudes that are grounded in the curriculum, anti-American, anti-Western, anti-reason attitudes, which the curriculum promulgates, opinions which make actually the United States and Israel scapegoats for evil in the world, evil in the international order. So ultimately, if you are going to deal adequately with the indulgence of anti-Semitism, discrimination based on race at Harvard and other elite universities, you're going to have to drastically reform the curriculum. But that also means finding somehow, somewhere, faculty and administrators who understand the content, the structure, and the imperatives of liberal education.
All right. We only have a minute, so this question requires more, but here it is. Do the university administrators, the deans, do they understand that the anti-Semitism is a symptom of what's wrong, not the thing itself?
I worry that they do not.
And in not understanding that, Peter, we're putting, well, the metaphors are commonplace. The ship is sinking and nobody's bailing. We've lost faith in our higher education universities. We've lost faith in the deans. And there's nothing we can do for them, is there?
There is. Let's put it this way. The extreme remedies that the Trump administration has proposed, many of which, in my opinion, go too far, have been prompted by the serious emergency in which we find our institutions of higher education.
Peter Berkowitz, the Hoover Institution, Real Clear Politics.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.